The first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 10 to 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocations, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many, many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from your eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and as he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old. And Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door to him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn, and finds so blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I dislike nothing more than waiting. It's so frustrating. I always tend to choose the wrong queue at the supermarket checkout. I'm the one where the barcode of an item is missing, or whoops, the pasta bag in front is split. Sorry for the wait, madam. It always happens. The fast food outlets at the motorway service station. Fast. Sorry for the wait, madam. High demand, not enough staff this morning. And let's not mention the fast train into London from St. Albans. We regret to inform you there is a 30-minute delay. I noticed horrendous queues reported on the BBC News this week as equipment failed at Heathrow and Gatwick. Endless stressful queues and noticeable lacking of patience, rising frustration everywhere. I well remember we used to wait for our teenage sons to get in at night, feeling a combination of anxiety, that unconditional love and responsibility. We both would lie awake because of all the imagined possibilities that made us nervous. The boys found it a little frustrating at times as we nagged from the top of the stairs, "And what time do you call this?" I think they also found it endearing in many ways. In waiting for them, we loved them. We would leave the porch light on, the side light in their room. We looked forward to their return. We thought, even as late as it might be, they might call. So Peter had his clothes ready in case he had to jump out of bed and go and pick them up in the dead of night or some unearthly hour. And you did, didn't you, Peter? And all those thoughts came to mind this morning when reading these verses in Luke. Jesus calls upon his disciples to wait. Although he will return, it may be some considerable time until it happens. And we are expected as Christians to wait patiently, because in so doing, we show our love for him. We look forward to his return. A return of a loved one is strangely not a burden. And we got on with our lives on earth. We had a family dog once when I was young, living at home. However he occupied himself, gnawing away at an old bone or a much-loved slipper or just snoozing by the fire, he always had one ear cocked, listening out for my father's approaching footsteps and the sound of the key in the door, and that welcome then, as you well know, is ecstatic. How do we wait for our Lord's return? What preparation should we be making? Well, we are told in Luke's gospel, it consists of readiness for action. In the imagery of our Lord, it has to do with clothing. Literally, one is to be ready by having their loins girded. You cannot work with flowing robes and you need to tuck them in. In our culture, we might say, having your sleeves rolled up, ready for action in the field and ready for a response when the master calls. However occupied we are, always with one ear cocked. The good patient waiter is to keep his lamp burning. They had no street lights in the times of Jesus, no porch lights to leave on that the master could easily find and then enter the door. The good, patient servant would be readily prepared to have lights lit to illuminate his way. Then the return is not a surprise. It is expected, and the servant ready and alert to be part of that joyous return. The good, patient waiter is to be like a devoted servant who eagerly waits his master's return, as if returning from a wedding feast that gave him good reason to be gone and delayed in his return. So the mood would be joyful and festive. The eager servant would be ready and immediately open the door to the master. In most movie plots, many successful ambushes and break-ins are attributed to one common mistake. Someone fell asleep or lost focus when they were supposed to be minding and guarding the door or the gate. So Jesus advises his followers not to make that mistake. They are to be alert, ready for the coming of Christ. This is good advice for us today as well. We should be ready to encounter Christ each day and seek him out in the people we meet. I wonder how many wake up each morning excited with anticipation of how God will meet us today, within our homes, within our neighborhoods, within our community. Or how many of us enter our church service with eyes peeled, ready to see the new thing that God will do among us. Jesus wants us to be open to the adventure that each day brings, for angelic visitations in our midst, for new freedom and healing in our lives and in our world. To be part of his kingdom and this new world, we must be ready ourselves. So while we are waiting in the supermarket queue or at the station platform, let's be outfitting ourselves in prayer, anchoring ourselves in thanksgiving, and ready to encounter what God has in store that day, or even this very morning. We are waiting and preparing for our autumn fair, the launch of our graveyard scheme, and then following up our harvest supper back to church service, happily occupied, focusing hard with commitment and passion for St. Peter's. However, a percentage of ourselves needs to remain conscious and alert, to be ready, listening, to meet Christ on his return. It is easy to get lost in the activity and the doing, but be mindful not to watch out for each other, to keep up our spirits, and to be mindful of minding the gaps in our lives. The prayer gaps, the listening gaps, the noticing gaps. I stood on the platform and alighted the train at a London tube station last week. At every stop, I heard the guard announce, "Mind the gap," and wait patiently for the passengers to leave the carriage. Mind the gaps in our life. Wait patiently for Christ's return. Good cues as we wait for Christ. So think of those gaps in our lives. The noticing gaps, the caring gaps, the doing good work gaps, our time with people gaps, doing our bit to spread the good news in this area, and fill the gaps. Amen. Please be seated for our prayers.
As we bring our prayers today, we will have some topics to centre our thoughts on, followed by a time of silence. Let us pray for our world. remembering where there is conflict and evil appears to reign. Syria, Liberia, Yemen, Iraq, Afghanistan, places where terrorism has shown its ugly head. We pray for our country at this time of turmoil. Guide those who govern to lead us daily in your way. Let us pray for the church worldwide, that it may stand firm in its calling. There are many who want to destroy all that it stands for. We pray for our church here in London Coney, this whole congregation, especially the residents of Whitehorse Lane and Waterside. Lead us in our mission that you have commanded each of us to fulfil, that we share the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Strengthen each of us in your service. We pray for our families and friends. Lord, you have given us families and friends. You know their many needs at this time, which lay heavy upon our hearts. We bring them to you now. Father, we bring to you those who we know who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit. Be with them in their needs at this time, as we remember them in our hearts. We remember those who have died recently and those whose anniversary comes at this time. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.